The word of God given to us today is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Please turn to page 314 of the New Testament. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen. Among the terms related to the game of paddock or the game of go, there is something called wigikupum, meaning nine professional ranks. In ancient China, players were divided among nine ranks according to their skill, and each rank was given a poetic title. Today, this tradition continues, and they're bestowed on professional paddock players who rank from 1단, or 1 first dan, to 9th dan. The lowest rank is a 9th rank, pum, and the highest is the first rank, ilpum, a first pum. I thought it would be helpful for us to apply these 9 ranks to our faith life. The 9th rank, the first dan, is called the sujor, self-defense. This means one holds on to one's lowly skill and does not try to overstep. The word su means to guard or to keep, and chor means clumsy or unskilled. In other words, it means not being shaken by what others say, but continuing to play your game. In our life of faith, this could be thought of as not following worldly values, not being swayed by what people say, but holding on to your faith according to the word of God. Coming regularly to worship on Sunday, despite what the family or friends might think, could be said to be the starting point of sujor. The title for the 8th rank, second dan, is yagu. The word yak means as if, and u means foolish. So yagu means appearing foolish or looking ordinary. On the surface, the player doesn't look all that skilled at playing paduk, and others may think they can beat this person easily. But in truth, this person has solid fundamentals, has attained a significant level of skill. In the life of faith, this could be a person who comes to church every week and is not doing anything yet within the faith community, but is actually giving serious thoughts about how she or she could serve the Lord. Others might think that person just comes to church and is not doing much, but in reality, that person may already be at the second town level and thinking very seriously about how that person, how he or she could serve God. Even though they're not visibly active now, they're quietly and deeply thinking about what channel of God's blessing they should become. The title for the 7th rank, or the 3rd tan, is turyok. This means, the word tu means to fight, and yok means strength. So turyok means the spirit to fight is strong. At this level, the player has already gained significant skills to compete on any board or with anyone. There are still areas that need some refining, but they're no longer an easy opponent. In faith, this could be thought of as a stage where one comes to have a zeal to serve God. A person who is at this stage may say, "Lord, give me any task and I will do it." The person is so deeply moved that God has called an unworthy person like himself or herself, the person may make a firm resolution. Rather than rusting away without use, let me wear out in service of the Lord. The title for the 6th rank, or the 4th dan, is Sogyo. The word so means small, and kyo means skill or craft. So at this level, the player is able to deploy some techniques, as modest as they may be. They are not perfect, but they can now see the whole board. They could use tactics in local battles and begin to taste the joy of the game. In faith, this is the stage where, after serving with zeal without much forethought, one begins to think rather carefully about the direction of one's service. You start asking questions like, what is the right way to serve God? Or what is the proper way to read and meditate on God's word? At this stage, you begin to slowly correct and refine your faith and service bit by bit. The title for the fifth rank, or the fifth tan, is Yongji. The word Yong means to use, and Ji means wisdom. So Yongji means using wisdom. At this level, the player knows how to give up small things in order to gain bigger things. They know how to look at the entire board and form strategies. In our spiritual life, this is the stage where we start to gain some wisdom. You begin to see the church as a whole, learn how to work in ways that strengthen the community. You understand what is lacking, how to fill in the gaps. This is a stage of real maturity. The same is true in one's personal faith. You learn to evaluate your whole spiritual life, make decisions to discard what must be thrown out, and focus your energy on the areas where you must grow stronger. The title for the fourth rank, or the sixth level, is Tongyu. The word Tong means to pass through or to communicate, and Yu means deep or profound. Together, it means to be universally connected or to pervade widely. This is the level where the player enters into the sublime world of Paduk and begins to taste the real essence of the game. In our faith life, this is entering into a deeper stage of faith. At this level, the person comes to have some room in their faith. The person is capable of deep generosity towards others, even when others are at fault. Rather than condemning, they understand that the weakness may have led to mistakes. The title for the third rank, or the seventh level, is Gu Che, complete. The word Gu means to have or to equip, and Che means body or whole. Together, it means to be fully equipped or be complete. This refers not only to mastering the technical aspects of the game, but also to reaching the stage where whenever one sits before the board, one can always maintain inner composure. It is said to be the highest level of skill that can be attained through human effort. In the life of faith, this is the stage where one's character is truly outstanding and one's spiritual knowledge is complete. It can be said to be a stage that combines both the martial and the literary aspects of faith. The title for the second rank, or the eighth level, is Cha Zhu. The word Cha means to sit, and Zhu means to shine or illuminate. Together, it means to see way ahead clearly even while just sitting. From here, it is said that human effort alone is not enough. Only those who are gifted, a chosen few, can reach the stage in Paduk. In the life of faith as well, very few people can reach this stage. It is those who, after a long time of training, emptying and filling themselves, come to have deep spirituality. The title of the first rank, or the ninth level, Ipshin. The word Ip means to enter. Shin means God or divine. It means, as far as Paduk is concerned, the person has entered the level of gods. In the life of faith, this corresponds to becoming almost like Christ. It is when the image of Christ is fully formed within us. It is probably the constant desire of professional Paduk players to move up in rank, for their skills to become even more outstanding. They will want to win tournaments, gain points, and finally reach the highest stage, the ninth level, the stage called Ipshin. In the same way, today's passage tells us that we too must grow more and more until we become mature, until we reach the whole measures of the fullness of Christ. This is from verses 11 to 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That God placed in the church these different roles, roles such as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, shows that he cares for the church and takes responsibility for it. So there are many different roles and gifts and offices in the church, but no role, no position exists for itself. Every role and position exists to equip believers, members of the church, to build them up and to build up the body of Christ, which is the church. But bringing the members of the church to full maturity and building up the body of Christ are not possible by human wisdom or efforts alone. It is not possible by deploying worldly values. It is possible only through the Word of God. The Apostle Paul's third missionary journey lasted about 4 years, from around 53 AD to 57 AD. Of those years, he spent nearly 3 years at Ephesus. There was no city where Paul stayed longer. So it is clear that the church in Ephesus had a very special place in Paul's heart. After leaving Ephesus and visiting other cities, Paul set sail toward Jerusalem. When his ship came to Miletus, about 45 kilometers south of Ephesus, Paul sent for the elders of the Ephesian church to come and meet him there. When the elders got there, Paul opened his heart and said, this is from Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 25. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider myself worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." Paul said that as he was bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, he did not know what would happen to him there. This did not mean that he was entering an unknown world or he was being forced to go to a place that he did not want to go. Paul had already been to Jerusalem many times, and he was willingly heading there again. But when he said, "I do not know what will happen to me there," he was emphasizing that the journey was not being undertaken for himself. The Holy Spirit had already told him that imprisonment and hardships were waiting for him. Yet Paul was going willingly. Why? Because he wanted to finish the task given to him by the Lord Jesus, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. For that mission, Paul even said, "I consider myself, my life worth nothing to me." Paul was moving toward Jerusalem with that kind of heart. And then Paul gave this charge to the elders of Ephesus who were there. This is from Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 32. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you. Will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will rise and distort the truth in order to draw away the disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I have never stopped warning each of you, night and day with tears. Now I commit you to the God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up, give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul reminded the elders that the church is the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. We must remember this. The church belongs to God. When this fact is forgotten, all kinds of problems arise. When a church is planted, it begins to grow. Pastors or so-called founding members sometimes start to think, "This is my church." That is why we see cases of passing churches down like some family property under the name of pastoral succession. But this is wrong. Having a sense of ownership about the church is not the same as saying the church belongs to me. The true ownership of the church is with God because it is God's church. God takes responsibility for it because his own church. We see this in the Corinth church, which was like a showcase of problems. They broke into factions, fighting among themselves, saying, "I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ." They argued over spiritual gifts, claiming some were greater or more important than others. And some still practiced idol worship. Some did not believe in the resurrection. One man even committed sexual sin with a woman who was in a position of being a stepmother. And yet, Paul wrote to them and addressed them as to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. He never hesitated to call them the church of God, even with all their failures and problems. God is the head of all churches. Therefore, the church must be the church of God and God's church. Now, Paul also warned the elders to watch over themselves and the flock, because savage wolves, false teachers, or false prophets would come to deceive the people. While Paul was there, he could protect the flock from them. But after he left, it would be the responsibility of the elders. That is why Paul first entreated with them, "Keep watch over yourselves." But the reason for Paul's entreaty was because even among the elders, there could be some who would rise to become like the savage wolves, the false teachers. The word distort means to twist or to warp. And Paul was warning them that some elders would be deliberately twist God's word for their own selfish gain. To twist a word for one's own worldly purpose and to selfish desires while professing to believe in the words of God is to become a person who is like a weapon who not only harm others, but also destroy him or herself. that Paul urged the elders of Ephesus to live in such a way that mirrored his own example, praying with tears night and day for those who had received the gospel and continually exhorting them with the word of God. And when the time came for Paul to leave, he did not entrust them to the rulers of the city or to the wealthy people of Ephesus, but he entrusted the church, the Lord himself, and to the word of his grace. Nothing in this world has the power to establish us rightly and to set our hearts toward eternity. Only the Lord and his word can do that. The same is true for us today. What builds us up, what makes us whole, is not the things of this world, but the Lord and his word. If we try to build ourselves on worldly possessions or pleasures, we may gain much and enjoy much, yet still find that a deep emptiness grows within us. Only that which is eternal can truly establish us and bring us to fullness. In what has often been called Paul's last will and testament, the second letter to Timothy, Paul speaks to the young pastor Timothy about the power that lies in the word of God, the scripture. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The 66 books of the Bible are filled with the heart of God, very breath of God. They teach us not only how we should live faithfully in this world, but also how to prepare for eternal life, showing us clearly what is right, what is wrong, what we must hold on to, and what to let go of. And yet, we end up pursuing worldly values and live according to our desires. And to do that, we wander down a completely wrong path, away from sound teachings. But even as we do so, as long as we look back up to God rightly, the word speaks to us. It rebukes us that the path we're taking is not right, and our goals are off the mark. And then the word makes us turn around and correct our steps so that we are standing on the right path again. Through this process, God shapes us into his people out of his righteousness, people who are whole and mature and ready to serve, and building us up as the body of Christ, which is the church. Without the word of God, it is impossible for us to become such complete Christians, believers who serve and strengthen the body of Christ. And where then must this journey of completeness lead us? Let us take a look at verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In order for us to become complete, Scripture tells us that we must first be united in both believing in the Son of God and knowing him. There must not be a gap between faith and knowledge, but a true unity. The word believe comes from the Greek word pistis, which can also be translated as faithfulness. In other words, believing and knowing can be understood as life and knowledge. For Christians to live by faith means that one's life and one's knowledge of Christ cannot be separated, but must go together. A believer may claim countless times that he knows Christ intellectually, But if his life does not reflect that knowledge, he cannot be shaped into a complete person. And what is the goal towards which we are being shaped? Scripture says it is to reach the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Interestingly, in the text there is a small notation, too, next to this phrase. The footnote at the bottom explains it as the measure of the stature of the fullness. Think of the amusement parks in the cities like Kwacheon or Yongin. Some rides are considered very safe, so there are hardly any restrictions. But for others, which are seen as slightly more dangerous, there are height requirements for the person who can get on the rides. Some rides say you must be at least 90 centimeters tall, others 100. Others 110 or 120 centimeters, and some even 140 centimeters. At the entrance of such rides that require you to come up to your height to come up to a certain level, there is usually a board with a marking where you can measure your height. It's there so you can check for yourself whether you are tall enough to ride. When I was a child, I remember that sometimes there was a wooden bar and you had to walk under it to see if your head reached the bar. In the same way, for us to grow into maturity, God has set up a measure, a standard. The measure is the stature of the fullness of Christ. It is like a board marked with the height measurements or a bar set at a certain level. And the words tell us to grow, to reach that height, to become complete people who measure up to the fullness of Christ. Paul longed that believers would become mature, united in faith and knowledge of God's Son, growing into the fullness of Christ. That longing appears again in another prison letter, Philippians, where he says, this is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." In the past, Paul's faith was in the law. He thought that living according to the law was the best kind of life, the life that brought him the most benefit. By contrast, he thought that following Jesus Christ was the worst kind of life, bringing him the greatest of loss. But when the risen Christ met him on the road to Damascus, Paul realized there was no knowledge greater than knowing Christ. He saw that the righteousness he needed was not a righteousness on his own that comes from the law, but the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul continued to confess like this. This is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul still had a deep longing to know Christ. When he wrote the letters to the Philippians from a Roman prison, it had been about 30 years since he first met the risen Lord on the road to Damascus. He was also only a few years away from his martyrdom, and yet he wanted to know more deeply, more highly, more widely the power of Christ's resurrection and participation in his suffering. That is why he confessed that he pressed on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus had taken hold of him. Today, the church in Korea is receiving harsh criticism from the world. We hear often that the church is failing its role as serving as the salt and the light of the world. As our church celebrates its 20th anniversary, we are walking faithfully in our calling to prepare the way for the 200th anniversary of Christianity in Korea by building the church as truly the Lord's church, not ours. Pastors guarding their calling so that they remain true shepherds, and members keeping their identity by living a life where worship becomes daily life and daily life becomes worship, making self-denial the goal of faith. To revive the Korean church and to prepare faithfully for the 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity, all of us must become one in believing in the Son of God and in knowing Him, so that we grow into mature people. We must not try to fill ourselves with things commanded by the worldly values, but press on towards the full measure of the stature of Christ. If we decide to walk towards maturity and live that life faithfully, our worship will change. Our prayers will change. And our lives will change. Then through us, who are being made mature by the Lord's grace, the Korean church will be restored, and the name of the Lord will once again be honored. Let us long for that day and run forward together, pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, even though we say that we want to be one in believing in and knowing your Son, in truth, we have not wanted to become mature. We have loved following worldly values more than obeying your word. We have desired to possess more, to enjoy more, and to sit in higher and greater seats in the world, rather than striving to reach the full measure of Christ. Though we have believed in you for many years and lived as Christians, because we have refused to grow up into maturity, the church in this land has become an object of scorn and even ridicule. Please forgive us our faults and our sins. Just as professional paduk players do their very best to raise their skill, move up in rank, help us also to give our very best to grow into maturity. Too often, when we chase after what we want, we only follow things that look good or can be boasted of in the world. Lord, help us instead to run so that we may take hold of that for which you have taken hold of us. We pray that our struggle and our steps towards maturity may become a small milestone pointing towards the 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity, and that our lives may be a sample of what a true church and true believers should look like. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.